on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. And as, by the way, it's Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, if you're superstitious, well, this is a bad day for you. And, of course, I just read the headlines here just now about France and what's going on there. So they're having a really bad Friday the 13th. We're here to help you, though. I want to help you. We're going to talk about money, as we always do. We'll talk about choices and long-term, short-term strategies, day-to-day moves in the market, whatever you want to talk about, individual stocks, IRAs, whatever it is on your mind financially, we'll talk about it. Should you watch the stock market every day, following its every move? For the average investor, probably not. But we do stop in time to time. You do have to look and see the trends, understand what's going on. So, you know, what has the market been doing recently? I wrote in the market commentary this morning on investtalk.com, anytime a market either falls or rises very fast in a short period of time, it's like stretching a rubber band, up or down. You're stretching a rubber band. There will be a snapback. And what we're seeing now, right now, is a snapback. Because all in October, which we talked about ad nauseum, the market went up almost consistently and went up very sharply from a low it made in August, retested low in September, then shot up in October, came up to the highs for the year, and now you're having the snap back down. Nothing to be afraid of, everybody. It's just the way it is. It's very normal for a market when it gets overbought or oversold. You heard me use that term many, many times. When it overbought, oversold, it will get rid of that overbought, oversold situation by going up or down in opposite direction of what the recent big move is. Okay? It's normal. Okay? So how should you react to this? Should you react, you know, the market was down sharply again today. It's been down sharply for what? 6 days? 7 days in a row? Six out of the last 7 days? Something like that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days. One up day, it looks like, out of 8 days. Okay, and yesterday and today, pretty good size down. So what should we do? Should we panic? No. Nope. Don't. This is normal. Justin and I talked about it yesterday. We think the market's going to go down to maybe 2,000. He thinks a little bit less than that. I'm thinking, between 1990, 2,000, somewhere in there. That would be fairly normal pullback after the big move in October. Now, I don't know that. There's no crystal ball. I only know this because I've seen it over and over and over again. That's all. Fibonacci retracement numbers kind of point to this, and you probably don't know what those are, but there's a lot of reasons for it. Now, if the market falls below that and then keeps going, the next big report on big support for the S&P 500 is 1880, which were the lows around 1880, which were the lows in August and September. Does it break through that? Excuse me. We're probably looking at a bear market. I don't think that's going to happen because think about the time of the year. We are now in the middle of November. We're going to be moving toward December, and we very constantly get a Christmas rally. We're in the best time of the year for the market long term. Doesn't mean it always has to happen. It just tends to happen. So you got that on the other side. Now, I'll say this. It's hard for me to believe that the market's going to rally very much with the Federal Reserve raising rates. Just as hard. That was what I talked about in the market commentary and in the newsletter today. So how should you respond to today's market? Should you make some adjustments? Well, you could. If you have questions like that in your head, what you should do, give me a call. Let's talk. 888-99-CHARTER is our number. Let's go to Akhil in Georgia. How you doing, Akhil?
Hey, I'm fine, Steve. How are you doing?
Good.
Yes, sir. So I do listen to your podcast. Thank you so much for all the information you give us.
Thank you.
So, Steve, yes, sir.
Go ahead.
My question is about GoPro. You know, like it dropped like just below the IPO price today, and the price was like almost 21.30, and it's a good growth company, and I was not sure about the good entry point for the stock. You know, I wanted to buy maybe around 500 stocks of the same. So if you can suggest me or see what your comments are about the entry point for the GoPro stock.
Well, now that it's broken below all lows, broken below its IPO price of 24 and all support, we don't know where it's going to go from here, Akhil.
Exactly.
We really don't. You're going to have to wait for it to fall, be done falling, and then wait for it to recover to some degree. And depending how you can wait for it to break above the 20-day moving average, or maybe better might be break above the 50-day moving average, because it's moving down with the price of the stock. When it starts back up, at least it will have a short-term change of direction. Now, may I tell you why I don't care for GoPro, even though it's very growing very fast. The reason why I don't care for GoPro is because I never liked it, because it'd be too easy to copy for everybody else.
They
manufacture mountable and wearable cameras and accessories for self-captured and sharing of content. Well, now you're seeing competition come in from China and everybody else. They don't have something that could say, hey, it's hard to copy that. I don't, you know, I'm not a big fan of GoPro. I'm just not.
Okay.
Good luck with it.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Doesn't mean it won't bounce up. Doesn't mean it won't go up. It probably will. It's growing very fast. 40 plus 50% a quarter sales. And they make money. $1.37. It's a $21 stock. It's been falling sharply. Is it $21 stock going to make $1.37 next year? How much is that worth? I mean, it's probably not worth more than right where it is. That's for sure. But I'm worried about the competition. They don't have, I think Morningstar calls it a moat. They don't have a moat so that someone can come and take their business and just charge less price. They don't have, what they do is they have a semi-brand name. GoPro, everybody knows who GoPro is, that brand. That will help them. But I just don't care for the competition that's coming in. I think it's going to hurt them. Hurt them too much, too. The interest rate on these investments are so low, people will have to save an extraordinary amount to build up a retirement account to be anything worth anything. The new MyRA, a safe investment? Maybe it's too safe. That's going to be our main talking point today. I'm going to discuss that. Also, here's the big problem with low interest rates. What is the big problem? Here it is. I'm going to explain it to you. Later on in the hour. And did you see the retail sales numbers out this morning? I like to delve a little bit deeper into the numbers, not just the top line number, which was up 0.1%, which was not very good. Better than shrinking 0.5% is what it did the month before. That was September. This report is for October. But I want to talk about some of the internals of that report. I know, not that all excited. And how about the WASH rule? Do everybody know what the WASH rule is? If you're an investor and you don't know what the WASH rule is, you better find out real quick, because it will affect you at some point in your career. You want to know what the WASH rule is and how not to violate the WASH rule. We'll discuss that too. Those are things we're going to talk about, but we'll talk about whatever's on your mind as long as it has some kind of financial ramifications. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. And, you know, you really have to feel for those people in France. You know, a multiple terrorist attacks are going on. A number of people are dead. And, you know, from the little bit that I've seen, and I haven't seen very much, shootings in restaurants and public places, you know, it's hard for me to understand. I think the average American has a difficult time understanding why anybody would just go in and start shooting up civilians. What good is that doing? I mean, in the long run. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's our number. You can call anytime you want. Our newsletter went out this morning, our weekly premium newsletter. It comes out every Friday. If you're interested in purchasing, it's less than $10 a month. Not much less than $10 a month, but it is. And you can only buy it. You can buy 1 month at a time. So, now, also, you helped the topic, so why not join us next week for our November 18th webinar? Many said that they wanted more information on building a strong portfolio, finding strong dividend-paying stocks. So join Justin and I, or Justin and me, November 18th. That's next Wednesday at 6:30. It's going to be a one-hour free webinar. You can register right now on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, guys. My name is Sean.
Hey, Sean.
I'm a podcast listener. I got a question for you about PE, and I'm just kind of curious. Let's say a stock, just for example purposes, nothing specific about it. Let's say Apple, I think last time I checked, has a PE of like between 12 or 14. I don't know the exact number, but so that earnings, price-earnings ratio based on their annual earnings. So let's say Apple didn't grow at all, or they grew at the expected rate, but the company continued at that rate for more than 13 years. Is that going to mean the price of the stock exponentially goes up after those 13 years, since the PE and the price of the company is rated at 13 times current earnings, from what I understand of PE? Anyway, hopefully that question makes sense. Maybe it doesn't. Thanks, and I appreciate any answer you can give. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, I think what you're asking, if you're looking at a PE ratio, a price to earnings ratio, and remember, it's a relationship between the price of the stock and the earnings of the stock. And if the PE ratio is 13, and it stays at 13, and the company continues to earn money, will the stock or the price go up? Yes, because it's a relationship between earnings and the price. The real question you really want to know is, what should be the PE? What's the PE range for the stock? What should it be for that industry? And are we over or undervalued based on its long-term PE range for the stock and for the industry that it's in? And then you got to look at the E part. Are the E, the earnings, going to be consistent going forward, growing, shrinking? It's not a simple thing. And you have to realize that price earnings ratios for different industries trade at different amounts. In other words, the steel industry, or a very slow manufacturing industry, their PEs are usually pretty low. Tech company, high growth tech companies, their PE ranges are always pretty high. So what industry are you looking at? You can't compare. You got to compare apples to apples in the various industries. And so earnings go up, and that's why I say eventually, if earnings continue to go up, the stock will go up. Eventually it'll go up because the earnings are what will drive it, and it will stay within a range of its PE range of itself and the industry it's in and the stock market as a whole. And if earnings keep going up and up and up and up and the stock doesn't, the PE goes down, 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 down. And eventually investors, traders say, hey, we need to buy this stock. Look how cheap it is and look how good it is. We got to buy that one. And that's what happens. It drives it back up. Then you get people too excited about it, does the same thing. Get it way over, get 2, 3, 400 PE. People get excited, so excited about it, and other people say, that stock is way overvalued. I don't want to buy that one. So it's a good question, though. It's a difficult question, by the way, to understand how the market works, looking at those PEs. Our Invest Talk Anytime number is 888-99-CHART. Can you say that your retirement portfolio today truly reflects the risk tolerance you have, your personal risk tolerance? One way to determine that is to use our free risk analysis tool. It's there ready for you free on InvestTalk.com. It only takes a few minutes. I'm Steve Peasley, and this is Invest Talk.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. Dividend stocks are more stable than other types of equities, but have more risks than bonds. 5 tips for using dividend stocks to pay for retirement. That's one of our talking points for Monday's podcast. We hope you'll be listening then.
So we had a pretty weak day today in the stock market, in addition to yesterday, and we've been down 7 out of the last 8 days or so. The Dow was down 202 points a day, the Nasdaq down 77, and the S&P down 23. And as I pointed out, this is nothing more than a retracement of the strong gains to some degree it made in October. The market never goes in one direction for very long. It never does. And the question you should be asking yourself, is this just a correction of the long, of the strong move up in October, or are we heading down to a new bear market? I'm not necessarily at this stage buying the bear market argument. I'm really not. And of course, if most of this is caused by the fear of what Janet Yellen's going to do, raise interest rates. That's when it started, if you remember right, when she was testifying after last Fed meeting, and they said they're likely to raise rates. If you paid close attention, did you notice she also said that there's always that they will do QE4 if they have to? I mean, it wasn't like that, you know, that wasn't that they wouldn't go the other way as well. They will. She will. Yes, the Fed will. Let's talk to Simon at Fremont. How you doing, Simon?
Hey, how you doing? I'm calling about Skechers. It looks like it had pretty good earnings, but the stock went down, so I was wondering what's a good entry point for this.
Okay, Skechers, everybody. SKX. And, excuse me, they market men's and women's and children's casual dress. I think their shoes are probably the most famous, the Skechers shoes. They are a very good, strong company. And they're not that expensive, so I think you're thinking of buying them when after this fall might be a good idea. They have been hit hard, and now that they've been hit hard, they were trading more than 62, like 63, 60, 50, was it 50? Yeah, 52, 50, $53 a share. That was in, was that June? No, August. And now here they are at 25, cut in half. Now, they make money. They've always made money. They're going to make $1.54 a share this year. They're going to make $2.16 next year. Those are huge numbers. They're growing 25-35% sales. So, Simon, I think it's a good stock that you picked here. I really do. Now, where do you buy it, though? Where do you come in? Because it's still falling. You're going to have to be patient, Simon. You want to stop. You want it to stop falling. The P/E ratio right now, next year is going to be $2.16. The P/E ratio is going to be right around 12, 13, and the 5-year range is 10 to 99. So that's pretty cheap. So I think you want to wait for the stop falling. If you want my opinion, I think it might stop falling right around $24, $24.50, somewhere in there. I think that's where it's going to stop falling, and that's where you'd want to pick it up. It could turn around and then dime, but you want to wait till it does turn around. Okay, Simon?
Right. Thank you very much.
Not good. Good pick, though. I do like the stock. I do like the numbers. I just hate the chart. But their earnings were good. Not like it's got, the terrible earnings were terrible. That's not the case. I kind of like Skechers. What makes me nervous because Jim Cramer and I both like it. That makes me a little nervous. If he likes the same thing I like. SKX is a symbol, everybody. SKX. Now, there's a new retirement saving vehicle that the government has established. It's called MyRA. Retirement Savings Account, MyRA, not IRA, MyRA. Don't go there as to why they would do that. And the thinking by the government is that a lot of people hate to see their accounts go down. So this is a retirement savings account that never goes down in value. Think of it more like a CD. What do they do? You in the MyRA, they buy U.S. Treasury bonds, bills, and notes. That's it. Now, I have a problem with this the concept of never going down, I don't have a problem with, but I have a problem with it because they're offering this now at the time of history when the U.S. government interest rates are historical lows. The worst return that they've ever given you. And now they want you to invest in it. The government does. They want you to be a buyer of the U.S. Treasury, the debt that they're issuing. They want you to be a buyer of it. Now, it is safe. But it's paying like 2%. Inflation is 2%. Is it safe? I don't know if it's safe against inflation, even though we don't have any. I mean, okay, inflation's 1.8% or something, whatever it is. Well, this pays 2, maybe 2.5%, maybe 2.3, I think, is the last, most recent. Okay, the average inflation rate in the United States is 3% for the last, 50, 100 years. 3%. So you're going to lose money to inflation over long periods of time. And that's what this is designed for you to do. Hold it for a long period of time. Well, it's safe. I can say that. That's what you can say about it. Pays more than money than savings account. We reached the halfway mark in the hour, everybody. A quick reminder. Take a look at my retirement check updates. Go to the website. I'm Steve Peasley.
This is Invest Talk for Friday, November 13th. It's the first step in determining if your retirement portfolio matches your tolerance for risk. Use our free risk analysis tool on investtalk.com. Just scroll down the page until you see the heading Free Personal Risk Analysis.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Time to give us a call. This is always a two-way conversation. If you can't call now, you can always call in between programs. The same number, and here's one of those calls.
My name's Joel from Castro Valley, and I'm interested in finding out what your take is on Netflix. They've been going through some news lately, and I'm thinking that maybe wondering now is a good time to buy. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I would. I like Netflix. I think it's a very good company. I think it's got great potential and has been doing great for a long time. I don't like it because it's so expensive. They're only going to make 20 cents a share this year and 26 cents a share next year. And the stock is trading at $100. I mean, $103.66. Making 26 cents? That's at 50, 60 PE. I don't know. I have trouble buying that kind of expense. Even though it's growing very steadily in the 20%. 25% sales every quarter. Earnings fell sharply this year. They're going to rebound to 26 cents next year. But it's just overpriced and it has been for a long time. It peaked at around 130, 128 or so. It's now about 103.65. I think it's too expensive to buy. I wouldn't buy it. And even though it's a great company, I just wouldn't spend the money on it. If you're looking for an entry point because you just want to take a flyer, then the 200-day moving average is about $91, $92, and that would be just as good as any. But for me, I would not buy Netflix at this point. NFLX, by the way, is a symbol, everybody. NFLX. Okay, time for Invest Talk 101. Can you have too much of a good thing when it comes to diversification? Can you have too much diversification? I like to, Jerry, my old partner, he used to call it diversification. You don't want to have diversification, make things worse. You want proper diversification. It's a great tool. You want it. But what does that mean? I've seen a lot of portfolios where people think they're very diverse. They have 15 different funds and 12 of them do the same thing, but just had different names. One could be a name of large cap prime fund. The next one could be the S&P 500. Now that one could be growth fund of America. And if you look at what they buy the same things. They own the same things. So just because you have different names that you're saying, I'm buying this and I'm buying that, that's not diversification. Diversification is being in different parts of the market or having some anti-market exposure, some exposure that had nothing to do with the stock market, some foreign exposure. That's diversification. Okay, and then inside a portfolio, stock portfolio especially, there's diversification in the types of stocks you own, in the industries that you own, in the market caps that you own. That's diversification. Not just having a bunch of funds. That's not diversification. Now, it gets more and more complex as you get into it, but you first have to start with the basics, and the basics is try to spread it out in different parts of the market. All markets. Okay? And then we like to start off with, well, how much risk do you want to take? And then if you want to have little risk, you don't even go into the stock market. If you want a very little risk, don't you go do my RA. There's very little risk there. So you start there with how much risk, and then you diversify within that scope of how much risk you want to take. That's InvestTalk 101. There's a link to the CNBC article about this topic next to our talking point on InvestTalk.com. InvestTalk.com, that's two T's. Do you have questions about diversification? Well, why don't you give me a call? You can click on Contact Steve on the same website, InvestTalk.com, or you can call us right now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. Dynamic growth, flexible management for optimum returns. To find out more about any of the KPP investment programs, click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, guys. I have a question about emergency funds. I currently have 3 to 5 months set aside in a money market account earning less than 1% interest. I'd like to know your thoughts on inflation and whether there's a better place to put my money. Thank you.
There really isn't for emergency funds. You're talking about funds that your liquid cash that you want to have available to you if something happens, a car breaks down, whatever. You know, something happens. And 3 to 6 months is a normal amount. 3 to 6 months of your monthly expense, not your salary, your expense, your monthly expense. And that's normal. If you're self-employed, you might want to have more than 6 months. Depending on how secure that income stream is of yours. If you work for a big company, been there for 30 years, then you can have less, you know, less than 6 months. You can have 3 months or less. So it depends on you. But there is no place to go to make any decent return with no risk. There isn't any place. Not the Federal Reserve has made sure that that exists. By lowering interest rates so far, matter of fact, almost any place in the world, they've done it. So no, there's no place you can go. Leave it in money market. That's your emergency funds. You don't take risks with that. Okay? 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So the retail sales number for October came out this morning, and it was up 0.1%. Okay, the expectation was to be up 0.3%. And the month before, September, was down 0.5%. So we had improvement. But you might want to take a look a little deeper. I mean, it's not much improvement. It's pretty weak. Even when you look a little deeper, you don't see a lot of great things in there. It's just not there. Retail sales, remember, why is it important? Remember why this is important. Even though it's a backward-looking statistic, it's important because it tells you what the consumer is doing. Not how the consumer feels. That's the consumer sentiment number that also came out today, and it was pretty hot. But what are they actually doing? You can have very happy consumers, but if they're not spending, that's what affects the economy, that spending part. Looking a little deeper, restaurant spending was pretty high. Okay, that was good. Also, there was a pickup in home finishing. Meaning the housing market is working good. That was up 1.4%. So there was some pretty interesting and positive numbers inside of it. But if you strip out automobiles and gasoline, the retail sales number came in as expected, up 0.3%. Remember that auto sales are really high? They actually, the sales of autos, that money spent on autos actually went down for the month, even though auto sales were near record highs. Tells me that maybe there's a little too much incentive, too much discounts going on. Maybe that's, you know, why it was, the sales were actually down. And gasoline sales going down is reflect lower prices at the pump, which is really good news from a consumer point of view, right? It's just not necessarily good news from an economic point of view for that industry, and it affects the stat of retail sales. But, you know, it's really a good thing that that went down because that means more money in the consumer's pocket. Our economy is 66% consumer-driven or more, a little bit more maybe. And we want the consumer happy. And of course, the consumer sentiment number was up today pretty strong. The reason why I don't like that number all that much, I mean, I do look at it, I just don't like the consumer sentiment number all that much, is because it doesn't tell you what the consumer is doing, but what they feel. And after today, with the terrible thing going on in France, with the terrorists, you know, killing a bunch of people, consumers would be, if you took the sentiment survey then, the day after that, they'd be depressed. The number would go down. 2 weeks later, a week later, a few days later, you took it and it'd be different. I'm not real keen on that report. I'm just not. Let's go to Ruby in Santa Clara. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, Steve. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
This is regarding a stock code. D for David, E for Edward, O for Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
DEO.
Right.
The right entry into this stock? Do you have any entry points?
Yeah, I do. Diego, everybody. Diego PLC is a United Kingdom stock, British manufacturer of alcohol beverages such as vodka, whiskey, rum, gin, beer, sold worldwide. Okay. Their sales are pretty flat. Recent couple of quarters up 1%. The quarters before that, they were down a few percentage points for several quarters. So it pays a 3% dividend. And the sales are flat. The stock hasn't really done much this year. And they have some entry points that would be much, I would much prefer to see you buy it right around, the first one I see is about $109, and the next one is about $104. Those are two, as this stock comes down, and it's coming down, not as much as the market, but it's coming down. Those are two very good entry points. If it holds those numbers, let's say it comes down to 109 and starts to go sideways and then starts up a little bit, that'd be a great buy point.
Okay, what is the valuation standpoint if the stock is good?
I think the value is a little high. That it's probably around $90, $95, and it's $112 today. So that's probably a better value. But, you know, you're going to have to pay up a little bit. You're going to pay up a little bit for the consistency and of the earnings and the dividend that's consistent with a very high return on equity of 35%. That's very good. So it's going to be a little bit overpriced all the time. So don't expect it to go down to what the value is. Expect it to go, you know, I still would buy it in those levels, even though it might be a little bit expensive. Okay?
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. It's a very good company, everybody. Diego PLC, symbol DEO. You know, very good, solid company. Very good. A reminder that our InvestTalk Premium newsletter goes out to subscribers every Friday, as it did today. We give you a summary of the week's market, the economic numbers, what's happening, what we think is going to happen, and give us an idea, a little hint of what we're thinking about doing or what we are doing. We always give a couple stock ideas. We give a portfolio management tip of some kind, a skill or some kind of suggestion, something to teach you a little bit. And Consumer Watch, which to me is interesting because we try to warn you against or for things. Is a good time to buy cars now? What's the best? What's the best website for, traveling? Stuff like that. That's what the Consumer Watch is all about. To sign up, just go to investtalk.com and scroll down to the bottom of the page.
We're glad you're with us on Invest Talk today. And whether you're 20-something or something just past retirement, we're here to help you make better investing and money decisions along the way. But we need to know what you need to know. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART. So we know that the odds of the Fed increase of rates in December are pretty high. At least that's what most of the economists think out there. And they could obviously be wrong. If the market crashes, I guarantee you they'll be wrong. But it's not doing that. But there are some opinions from like David Kelly of J.P. Morgan. He's a big fund manager person. He thinks that the increase in rates in December will actually be good for the stock market. I kind of have an inkling that that's possible myself, but it would have to be a one and done kind of thing and not do it again for a while. The reason why is that if the Fed is raising rates, that must mean that the Fed, and they have their finger on the pulse pretty good of the economy, that the economy is doing pretty good, that the economy is strong enough to handle increasing rates. Don't we want rates to go up because that was signal that the economy is doing well? Let's say that this goes like the opposite side. If the Feds decided not to raise rates in December after telling us that they think they're going to, and it really looks like a number tell them, if they do not raise rates, what does that tell us about our economy? The Fed, that to me, it tells us the Fed doesn't think we can handle that quarter point interest rate rise. Now, we know that everywhere in the world, the ECB, the Chinese, everybody in the world is lowering or weakening their currency while we are increasing our interest rates, which will strengthen our currency. So you got a big tug of war going on here. Big tug of war. Will raising the rate by quarter point actually help the market? It might. 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now as we move into the final segment of the Invest Talk show today. A reminder that if you are a podcast subscriber and you live too far from our California office, we can meet via Skype or even on the phone. I'm a registered investment advisor. I might have a registered investment advisor firm that's licensed everywhere. You reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Our next free webinar is coming up soon. Steve and Justin hope you can join them for Building a Strong Portfolio with Less Risk and Finding Strong Dividend-Paying Stocks. The date is November 18th. The time is 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It is free. You can sign up right now on investtalk.com.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta. What do you guys think of Smith & Wesson, the gun maker? S as a Sam, W as a William, H as a House, C as a Charlie. What's a good entry point to this? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, SW8C, Smith & Wesson, is a small cap company, $931 million market cap. It's one of the stocks that's done very well this year. I mean, it started off the year about $10 a share, and today it's at $17. Now, did get up to $19. This is the problem I see with Smith & Wesson. It double topped around $19, and it's now starting to weaken, and it broke the 50-day moving average for the first time. Well, it broke it back in August just for a day, but I would be very careful about entering this stock right now. Having said that, the numbers are pretty good. They're going to make $1.20 a share this year, make $1.35 a share next year. It's a $17 stock, so it's not expensive. But the 5-year range of PE is 5 to 35. Well, that means, if it went to a 5 PE range, that means this stock would go down to $7 from 17. Do I think it's going there? No. Return equity is very good at 31%, and the sales have been increasing the last couple of quarters. Management owns 4%. Mutual funds are net buyers. I mean, there's good things going on. I'm not sure why they have 90% debt. I don't think this is the kind of company that should have a lot of debt, and they apparently do. Not sure why. And the news out of France probably will give this a short-term boost. Maybe that's possible next week. I just think that this double topping action tells me that the stock might come down. I think you need to be patient. Let's make sure it doesn't go down much further. Let's make sure that it starts to move back up before you buy. I would love, I think, a great buy point, about $16 or maybe $15. Somewhere around that range would be a great, $15 would be even stronger. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That was Smith & Wesson stock, SWHC. Do you know about the wash rule? I talk about it every time, always about this time of year. The wash rule is, if you want to sell a stock to realize the loss that you've had in it, so that you can apply that loss to gains, capital gains, you're taking the capital loss to apply to a capital gains. The Ross rule says, and you still want to own the stock, but you just want to sell it to take the loss. You cannot buy that stock for 30 days. You can buy it back on the 31st day. If you sell it today, take the loss, and then buy it next week, buy it back, then you violated the wash rule and you don't get the tax loss. Now, there's ways to try to get around this, but that is the wash rule. Now, you could, if you really like the stock, you can double up today, double up. In other words, if you have 100 shares, buy another 100 shares, and then 31 days, sell 100 shares, the first tranche that you owned. You get the loss, and you got to sell it before the end of the year to get that loss this year. And you could do that. That would work. What you cannot do. Now, the IRS has a rule. You cannot buy, let's say you sell, you own an ETF, S&P 500 ETF. And you have a loss in it. You decide to sell it, take the loss. And then you decide to buy a different S&P, a different ETF, different company, different company issuing it, but it tracks the same index, S&P 500, and you buy that one. That, you would not get the loss. You would have problems with the IRS. Because it's quote-unquote substantially identical. Now, the problem is with the word substantially identical, the IRS never has defined what that really is. What's substantially identical? Take the loss on one stock and then buy another one to replace it. What's substantially identical? I think the S&P 500 that I just sampled is, but maybe not too much other things are. I don't know. No one knows. Only the IRS knows. Our hour's up, everybody. Both Justin Klein and I thank you for investing this hour with us and with me. Even though Justin's not here, we still thank you. A reminder of our new checkup date in San Ramon is December 9th. December 9th. There's also a date for La Jolla, December 2nd in La Jolla. You can reserve your time. Go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. I'm Registered Investment Advisor Steve Peasley. And for everybody at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today, and we'll do it again the next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.